Welcome in to Talking Terps, a show which covers University of Maryland basketball and football. Talking Terps is part of BSL Radio. Baltimore Sports and Life is dedicated to analysis and discussion on the Baltimore Orioles, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Terrapins. The site has a team of writers providing coverage of those teams and houses live streaming content weekly. Join the conversations on the message board, like BSL on Facebook, and follow BSL on Twitter.
Welcome into Talking Terps. I'm your host, Zach Kiesel, joined as always by my co-host, Mike Popovic, Pat Donahue. We've been off for a week, but we're back. We got a 5-0 Maryland team to talk about. Maryland 5-0 for the first time since 2001. They started their conference season with a 2-0 record for the first time in Big Ten play ever. First time since 2012 when they were in the ACC. So pretty impressive, guys. Mike, I'll give you the first crack here. I know you were at the Indiana game. Mm-hmm. What impressed you most about that game? Because Pat and I were chatting before, and you know he was mentioning it seemed like Maryland's best, like most complete performance so far. So what impressed you most from that Indiana game, and what do you think they still need to work on?
Well, we talked about them needing to get off to a fast start, and they did that again. They did that against Michigan State when they took advantage of the turnovers, and then here they just took advantage of a not very good Indiana team, although Indiana's defense coming into the game had been pretty good against Louisville, against Ohio State in week one. Their issue was their offense, but not their defense. But Maryland came out, a lot of quick hitting passes, a few deep shots as evidenced by that 62-yard pass to Jones on that very first drive that they had. But they wanted to get in a rhythm. They talk about needing to get into a rhythm and get into a flow. And so they did that with the quick hitting passes. They didn't mess around necessarily with a lot of the run game early on, which has not been a strength of theirs anyway. So you're impressed with that. You know, it's interesting, guys, because, you know, I asked Steve Suter during the pregame show on the network. I said, as a player, what was it that you needed to do to get off to a fast start in a game? Or what did you think a coaching staff needed to do for the team in order to get that to try to happen early in the game? And he said, you know, I'm not sure that you can practice that. I'm not sure that there's something that you can do to help you get off to a fast start. Now, I think the biggest thing, guys, is just focus and about the understanding that early in the game is just as important as late in the game, because if you take care of business early in the game and you're dialed in and focused as best you can be, then it may not come down to it being so tight at the end of the game. Obviously, it wasn't in this one. But I think the early start was what was very impressive. Indiana's offense struggled, and Maryland obviously took advantage of that as well. But the fact that they did not let Indiana into this game, did not give them any momentum or confidence, and that they got off to such a great start. I mean, that was the thing that was impressive. And then defensively, they continued to do what they do. They have hiccups here and there. They're not perfect, but at the end of the day, guys, the results are pretty darn good when you take a look at the numbers.
Absolutely. And you know, it was funny. I don't know if you saw any of the TV broadcasts, because I know you were in the stadium.
Yeah, they have it in the press box.
But did you see Mike Locksley's interview at going into halftime? He was not happy. Let's just put it that way.
Oh yeah, because Jones should have gotten out of bounds,
right?
And they could go kick the field goal. And you know, those are, you know, the game may be in hand, but those are situational opportunities within a real game that you have a chance to work on something like that when it may count a lot more down the line in a game. And he for a guy, it is a fifth or sixth year senior, there's no way that he should have botched that play.
Yeah, agree. And I mean, Locksley, he shouldn't be satisfied pretty much ever. I mean, he clearly has taken a lot from Nick Saban, Pat. And one of the things that he's definitely taken is that play to the standard. Ignore the scoreboard. You play every down to the standard that you've set. And now within his fifth year in the program, he's set that standard and he expects these guys to live up to it.
Absolutely. And that's really what we meant in, you know, when Locksley was hired and we talked about changing the culture, and no one is expecting Maryland to, within a short period of time, compete for national championships based off of where they were. But we've seen a progression here. We've been making bowl games, had 8 wins last year. And I think we were talking a couple podcasts ago about like our expectations for this team. And we all were a little unsure, like, We were all kind of thinking around maybe 7, 8, maybe 9 wins if they're good. And now, you know, already off to a 5-0 start, as you mentioned, the first time in, 22 years. It seems like we should start raising the bar for this team and do so because Locksley already has and they have for themselves. Right before we logged on, I was reading up just some recaps from the game, some thoughts from the game. And I forget exactly who the writer was. It doesn't matter. It was a quote from Mike Locksley in the article, and it, a post-game quote of him saying, "I don't think we heard Ohio State mentioned once the entire week leading up to the Indiana game," which that's what teams do. They focus on, you know, where their feet are, who they got next, the next opponent, and take care of business and then move on to the next one. And I think, you know, he even said in the quote, you know, that just shows the maturity of this team as opposed to some other teams that he's had. So, you know, I think he's right on with that. And I think that, yeah, as you kind of said, you know, in your intro to Mike there, I just think that this was one of their, from an offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I agree, Mike, I think they need to get running the ball a little bit more, but they're playing to their strengths. And, you know, there's times when I worry, whether it's this year or other years, there's times where I feel good about the offense, but not good about the defense and vice versa. But this year, I feel like they're pretty solid, like a top 25 to whatever you want to put the number at unit on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to look just a bit at September as a whole, look back the last 5 weeks. You know, five games gives us a pretty good idea of who this team is. They haven't played great competition, but they played two conference games, did play Virginia. So worth looking at where they stand within the rest of college football. 20th best offense in the country, if you're looking at yardage, 33rd best defense in the country. So
I didn't even look at those numbers, Zach, yeah. And that's exactly how I was feeling.
Yeah,
33rd defense?
33rd defense. It's right. Well-balanced. 17th best scoring defense. Opponents only averaging 15 points a game. Despite nice. Those slow starts in a couple games that we've seen in mid-September, this defense has really locked things down, and that's what you need to see in Big Ten play. Brian Williams, there were question marks along the entire defensive line, both outside linebacker spots, and they've played really well. And in fact, right now, Mike, they're stopping the run better than they're stopping the pass.
Well, and this is a defense that has gotten progressively better when you take a look at the statistics. And we know that the third quarter stood out well. Second halves have started out well or have been very good for the defense as well when they've had some early hiccups in the first quarter. But you know, certainly Saturday was a game where pretty much for all four quarters they played very, very well. And even though this game alone wasn't the sole reason why they did it, Indiana ends up firing their offensive coordinator, Walt Bell, after the game. So Maryland certainly didn't help matters with his job security with that. But, yeah, as much as the attention on this team is mostly on the offense because of Tagovailoa and coming back and the numbers he put up. And look, he's over 9,000 career passing yards. He eclipsed that mark on Saturday. Jayshon Jones eclipsed the 1,500 career receiving mark as well. But as much as the attention's on the offense, you know, that defense deserves a lot of praise in the job that Williams has done. And let's not forget, you know, the number one draft pick to the Giants in Deontay Banks. Let's not forget that as much as we tout the wide receiving core and a guy like Stephon Diggs or DJ Moore, let's take a look at this defense a little bit.
Absolutely. And we can also look at the offense because they're fun to watch too. Like I said, 20th best in yardage, led by the passing offense, 15th ranked passing offense in the country. One thing that definitely stands out to me is 49% on third downs, 18th best in the country. Yeah. They've been really good at that, and a good passing attack helps with that. A mature quarterback who can convert some of those third and nine, third and 11, when you get a little bit behind the chains, you don't panic. You have the receivers to go to there. Pat, Talia, you know, Mike just mentioned 9,000 plus passing yards in his career now, on pace to break the Big Ten single season passing yards mark.
Wow.
He's the best quarterback in the Big Ten right now, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, thank God Michael Penix isn't in the Big Ten. He's having himself a hell of a year. Man, did he turn into a quarterback better than I ever thought he could. But
good things happen when you leave Indiana.
Yeah, exactly right. But to bring it back to Talia, I mean, incredible. I mean, we're very lucky to have him as Maryland fans. Obviously, we've gone through our you know, quarterback issues over the years. And, you know, he's the best we've seen in quite some time, maybe since Boomer. I mean, he's probably going to hold most of Boomer's records or, you know, whoever holds whatever passing records.
Scott Milanovich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Milanovic. Boomer and Milanovic.
It's Milanovic over Esiason. I mean, even though he threw the
statistically,
ball.
Statistically, yeah.
Right. Milanovic. And the name, I'm drawing a blank on the name right now, but the kid who won ACC Freshman of the Year the one time.
Well, Danny O'Brien.
Danny O'Brien.
The one season. The one good year.
Right. I was thinking single season stats. But yeah, you know, Talia's up there with any of them, if not better. He seems to be improving. I mean, this game was just incredible. With his efficiency and his accuracy. And I mean, it helps to have, I'm just looking through the box score and it's like, it's not just this week, it's every week. It's multiple receivers having good games. There's usually one that in this game, there was two that really took over, but there's, you know, three, four, five, every single game that are having nice contributions or making touchdown catches. And it's just, it's really, and not to mention Dyches, you know, the tight end, I kind of lump him in with that because he's really more of a receiver at this point, but you know, to have an arm that talented and to have that many weapons, and I do think they'll get the running game going a little bit better, at least than it is now. It's kind of been a staple of Maryland, you know, in Loxley's time, at least, too. So, yeah, man, those Tagovailoas, they are Talia and Tua. They're just having themselves a year, aren't they?
I wanted just to make three quick points here. We mentioned the wide receiver core, and Pat, you brought it up in terms of spreading the wealth. Ty Felton, a huge game, three touchdown receptions. That's the first Terp to have three touchdown receptions in a half, and that was his first multi-touchdown game of his career. So Felton had a huge game in that one. You know, talking about the secondaries we did a few minutes ago, and I was watching the secondary a lot and how they were covering Indiana receivers. Now, Cam Camper, I didn't see what Tom Allen said after the game. Cam Camper did not play in that game, and I didn't see any injury designation prior to the game or anything of that sort. But he's their top receiver. He didn't play. Now, they are deep at receiver. They have other guys that get the job done. They've got another guy, McCauley, who's also an NFL prospect. I think he's 6'4", runs like a 4.45, 40, something in that range, or 4.53, 40. So he's there. They've got some other guys. So that didn't hurt. But I thought the secondary did a really good job. But, Pat, to your point about the run game, the only time they ran the ball well is when they ran a gap scheme, when they ran the counter. They ran the counter several times, especially in the second half, and it almost every time it worked. But any time they tried to go straight ahead blocking or zone stretch blocking, it did not pan out. That is a real problem. And certainly Ohio State's going to expect to see the gap schemes because that's what worked against Indiana. Had a good Indiana front, for that matter, as well, a good front seven, especially on the D-line. But, yeah, I don't know what exactly – they have to do to make that better, but that's certainly an area of concern because we're not saying that they need to have an outstanding running game, but they need to have more than what they've gotten. And the competition gets a whole lot better this week and in the weeks ahead.
Well, one thing that I noticed, Mike, is they were running more gap schemes, but they were also attaching reads on the back end for Talia. And he was running the ball a little bit more than we've seen. And I'm curious to see whether they're going to do that more going forward, because that seemed to open things up once they were able to get him reading the end and getting him into space on the back end. It freed things up for the running backs, and when they switched to Littleton, he was able to make stuff happen in that gap scheme in the fourth quarter.
And if I could just jump in real quick, guys, I think it's a great observation you make there, Mike, with the counters and the success of them, because to me that goes back to this team being self-aware and playing to its strengths. If they can maybe implement more of that moving forward, whether teams are looking for it or not, that's not necessarily, almost doesn't matter sometimes in football. Sometimes the team can know exactly what you want to do, and if you're that good at it, I mean, look at my Eagles with the tush push or brotherly shove or whatever they do. They you know, convert that every time when teams know it's coming. So, like, it seems to me, based off of the fact that they've been better at pass blocking than run blocking, and they're having more success with the counter pulls than they are just straightforward bullying people, this is just more of a finesse team, very un-Big Ten-like, but maybe that's how we're able to win games, catching teams by surprise, utilizing that athleticism and speed, even on across the line, because there's no sense. If you're not bigger than the other team, which we're not on the offensive and defensive line most of the time, especially offensive, you know, and that's not going to work. There's no sense in trying to, you know, fit a square peg into a round hole. Yeah. So that's definitely something I think to look, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, and look, that was a good front. Indiana goes six deep on that D-line. They've got two transfers that came in, one, I think, from Western Michigan, the other from Texas Tech. And that's a good, again, that's a good front. But yeah, they're going to have to make those adjustments, and maybe that game they really saw that what's really going to work going forward and not. And again, it'll get tougher with Ohio State's front and Penn State and other teams down the line.
Couple more things I want to mention about this past month. Number one is Maryland is tied right now with Penn State for the best turnover margin in the country, plus 2.3. So you talk about a recipe for success against some of these bigger teams, and we'll talk about Ohio State in a minute. But if you can control the turnover margin, especially on the road, Pat, that's going to give you a chance to win every single game.
Absolutely. Not only that, earlier talking about the third down conversions. Those are championship stats. I mean, there are teams out there that put up gaudy numbers and don't win games, and there are teams that win sloppy regularly, and that can be very frustrating for a fan base, not getting to see pretty football all the time or getting style points and constantly having nail biters. But like the Terps have kind of found like that happy medium where they're starting to now, through this progression and evolution of Loxley, of the Loxley era, they're starting to really capitalize and convert on these championship stats and the things that really matter, and not just, you know, oh, every once in a while we get Ty Johnson or Roman Hemby rushing for 200 yards and blowing out Rutgers, like, you know, things that don't necessarily matter. Turnovers and third down conversions are what championship teams are made of, and it's just great to see this team doing that.
And the other thing is penalties. And Mike, we've talked about this with this team for years, is the penalties, and it's killed them in so many games. But so far, averaging just under 5 penalties a game, top 30 in the country. And it's something that I noticed when we reached about halftime in this Indiana game. I think they had like 1 or 2 penalties in the first half. Now, overall, penalties were down in that game, so maybe the refs just weren't calling things. But overall, this season, they've done a much better job with limiting the penalties, and that's going to be key moving forward.
After week one, yes, because in that Towson game, they had a lot. Although I think I mentioned in that one, they had 7 or 8 penalties. I think 3 came on one offensive drive. So if you take those, if you take that one drive away, they had 4 in the game, and you'll settle for 4 for sure during a game. But it's also the kind of penalties you get. You know, if you get a lot of 10 to 15 yard penalties, even if they're just 3 or 4, that could be pretty devastating to a drive offensively or defensively and helping the other team out. But yeah, that, Zach, that's an area to watch. I mean, you guys brought it up, and look, this is a good Maryland team, but what's going to maybe take them a little bit further this season and maybe against teams that they're not as good against is the third down conversion, the turnover ratio, as you talked about, and then the penalties as well. Those areas factor in where teams can end up having maybe a better season or get overachieving to a certain extent because of those areas in which they do a really good job in. And other teams that may be more talented don't within a game, and you could take advantage of that.
So let's move on. We'll talk about Ohio State now. Maryland going up to Columbus on Saturday afternoon. It's Ohio State's homecoming. We were talking right before this. I feel like every time Maryland goes up to Ohio State, it's their homecoming, which is a little bit rude, but whatever. Buckeyes are 4-0. They're coming off a bye week. They had a nail-biting win against Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. That was their most impressive win of the season, really the only decent team that they've played. They beat Indiana, Youngstown State, and Western Kentucky. They are ranked 4th in the country, led by the defense. Currently 7th best in the country. They've allowed the second fewest points of any team nationally, and it really comes down to their pass defense, which has been impressive through their first 4 games. Second fewest passing yards any team in the country. So, Pat, this is clearly going to be Talia's biggest test so far this year, maybe his biggest test that he'll have all year. So how's he going to respond? How is he going to respond to this defense on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you really have so many interesting narratives going into this, and that might be the top one, because you have Talia coming off of this amazing performance against Indiana at home. Obviously now he has to go on the road against maybe the best defense in the Big Ten, certainly one of them. And that, I think that dynamic right there is just interesting. Is he going to build off of that performance, or are we going to see like two ends of the spectrum, you know? So yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed with Ohio State, overly impressed with Ohio State this year. Now they're still the number four team in the country, and they are a good team. I'm not saying that we're going to totally catch them off guard. I'm not even saying I'm picking an upset at this point, but I do think that Maryland has a lot of momentum going into this game, a lot of confidence and self-belief. I think Ohio State's going to have a fair amount of momentum and confidence after, you know, winning in Notre Dame. But I don't know if you're really, if they're really being honest with themselves, if you're an Ohio State player, if you're an Ohio State coach, do you really feel like you've played up to your potential this year? Do you really feel like you've played like the number four team in the country? Whereas Maryland seems to be kind of catching its stride. You know, I think if you try and play just like, you know, drag it out, you know, knock them down, drag it out football with Ohio State, kind of play into their hand and think you're just going to win that way. That could definitely go against Maryland. But I think if we can go in with a good game plan, like we've been talking about, play to our strengths and kind of catch them off guard early and to show them that, hey, this is a new Maryland team. We're not intimidated by Ohio State anymore. And we're not intimidated by the horseshoe. And you might think you're going to come here and push us around, but try catching us because we're fast and we're athletic. So that's the kind of what I hope happens and Maryland comes in with. But it'll be interesting, kind of like we were talking before we hopped on, Zach. It seems at this point that Maryland has separated itself from the bottom of the pack in the Big Ten. But how close are they now to the Blue Bloods? And we're going to find out.
And Mike, you mentioned earlier Ohio State's front seven, and there is a lot of talent there for sure. One thing they haven't done this year, despite their passing defense being really good, they haven't gotten to the quarterback at all. They're averaging one sack per game, one of the worst marks in the country. So they like to sit in coverage. They don't blitz a ton. They've never really blitzed a ton. They like to sit in coverage. They're typically solid there, and they have been so far this year. So to me, it seems like the key here is Talia being very patient with his reads, not forcing the ball. And I think Roman Hemby could actually play a big role in, as a check down option in the flats in some of those coverage holes.
No, Zach, I think that's well said. And I also think that if you're getting enough cover two from them, you got to be able to have some semblance of a running game. But I agree in terms of the pass, you got to be patient. And I think, too, though, despite the fact that they may only average a sack a game, I think that Maryland needs to very early on feel out clearly the pass protection situation, because this O-line will get the biggest test that they've gotten all year. I mean, this is a big step up. And I agree, maybe Ohio State right now, maybe they're ranked a little higher than they should be, but they still have a ton of talent. But even if they're, say, a top 10 or 15 team, that's still going to be the best team by far that Maryland's faced this year. So I think early on they need to quickly feel out the protection situation of what they need to do to obviously help Talia have the most success there. But you're right, Zach. He needs to be patient. You know, if they're not giving up, you know, anything big, and he needs to take what's there. And then again, a certain semblance of a running game is going to be necessary. And you know, they're not going to be a Michigan. And even look, Michigan last year in the game, in both games, you know, early on, their run game was shut down, but they didn't give up on it. And I think that's important too. You're not going to have probably the kind of run game where you're going to keep that Ohio State offense on the sidelines for long periods of time, but you need to have enough to do that. But I think the good thing for Maryland is they do have enough threats there where somebody ought to be open, even if it's underneath with a bunch of 3, 4, 5, 6 yard passes.
Yeah, I think sustaining drives is a key for this offense. Obviously, they've done a good job so far not turning the ball over. That has to continue. But sustaining drives and making field goals. We saw Jack Howes miss a relatively easy one. It should have been, I think, a 40-some yarder. So that may be key this week, is getting him into a rhythm. Offensively for the Buckeyes, they've got a new quarterback, Kyle McCord. Obviously, C.J. Stroud gone to the NFL. He's not really a dynamic playmaker. He's an experienced guy, more of a point guard running their system. He's not C.J. Stroud. He's not Justin Fields. But they've got a ton of talented pass catchers. So Pat, obviously led by Marvin Harrison Jr., Tarheeb still got injured towards the end of that Indiana game. I haven't seen or heard anything about his status, but it seems like probably up in the air whether he goes this week. How's Maryland going to slow down Marvin Harrison Jr. this weekend?
That's a good question. And honestly, we should probably also keep an eye on the health of Marvin Harrison Jr. because I know he got banged up in that ankle. Notre Dame game. I don't follow Ohio State's beat close enough to know if he's even questionable or has been practicing or not, but I'm sure I'll catch wind of that here in the next couple of days. And, you know, he might be a little gimpy as well, but I will say that Tarheeb still injury is very important, very key to keep an eye on this week, because if they don't have him in the secondary, that is going to make this a very tough task. That is, you know, Ohio State's bread and butter right now. They got Harrison and is it Edukba? However you say his last name, he's really good at football. And whichever one of those guys could have a great game any time. So it's really a pick your poison type of thing. We need all hands on deck in the secondary. And, you know, Zach, you were saying earlier, like Travion Henderson's not having the best game or the best season based off of his expectations. But I've seen how talented that guy is, too. And that's someone you have to account for as well. So, if you don't have a guy like Tarheeb Still out there, I don't know how you negate a guy like Marvin Harrison or his counterpart to you know, be quite honest. But I do think our secondary, other than a few miscommunications and stuff, has really played well this year. And I really think that's because of our two experienced and athletic safeties. So as long as Bo Braid and Dante Trader are healthy and in, I do think we have a good chance of at least, somehow keeping maybe Marvin Harrison and Edukba won't both have huge games. Let's just say that, I think we'll have some success at stopping some things they want to do.
Yeah, and speaking of the safeties, Mike, I mean, is the best course of action in this game to kind of keep too high all game, make them run the ball underneath, limit the big plays, and try to hold them to as many field goals as you can?
Yeah, I mean, that would be, I think, the common sense approach. I think if I'm Maryland, what I do, I want to go back and take a look at what Indiana did week one against Ohio State. And I understand it was week one, and I understand that, McCord, it was his first start. So I understand that not everything that played out in that game is what you can expect after he's got a few starts and got some confidence in that Notre Dame game. But I still want to go back and take a look at what Tom Allen and that defense did of Indiana. I also want to go back and take a look at what Michigan did in both of their wins the last couple of years against this team. And they did play a lot of cover two. Now, obviously, 2 years ago, they had Ojabo and Hutchinson, so they could rush forward and drop right. seven into coverage. But I think what you saw from them is that they showed different looks in the secondary. They were patient. They gave up plays. You're going to give up plays, but you got to be patient. You can't give up. Yeah, try not to give up the big play. You got to tackle in space. You got to be good in the red zone and try to hold them to field goals there. You can try your hand in spots in blitzing because he is still young. He hasn't played much in McCord. The Terps haven't been great about getting a whole lot of a pass rush against quality lines. But they do have, I believe, two new tackles and a center this year on that line. Their strength is at the guard spots. Now, those guys are still very talented. But, maybe Brian Williams takes a few shots here or there in a blitz and shows some exotic schemes. But I think generally, you've got to take that two-deep approach and keep it in front of you, tackle in space well, bear down to the red zone, and, pick your poison. I mean, you could say you want to take away Harrison, but Egbuka – and Fleming, your twos and threes at wide receiver, and then Cade Stover, the tight end. I mean, he's a quarterback's best friend. And I'm not so sure that on third down, I may be doubling on Harrison, but I'm not so sure that I'm also not doubling on Stover and having Egbuka or Fleming beat me at that point, because I think he's going to look to Stover to try to bail him out on third downs.
Yeah, I think you talk about blitzing, and I think the key there is you got to try your best to keep him behind the chains. Because if they're constantly in third and three, third and four, blitzing's not really going to do much.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you get them to third and eight, third and nine, then that'll really help you as far as pressure goes. And you mentioned the red zone. I think you're spot on. You can't allow these guys to bully you down in the red zone. And we'll see. I mean, I was impressed with Corey Coley last week. So having a third corner would really help, especially if Still's not able to go, somebody behind Shepard. Corey Coley, he was good last year in spurts. If he can solidify this week, he may have to play a big role.
And guys, I might just interject quickly as well. I don't think that Ryan Day won't come out and also try to run the football. I know they've got a great passing game, but don't think they're not going to try to come out and establish the run, regardless of what Maryland's stats are, to help McCord out in being able to set up play action or just make things easier. Because you saw what Michigan State had success running the football against that Maryland front. So don't think that he won't try and do that and mix that in there as well. And that's something that Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if we lose because they run the ball up and down down our throats, I think that, okay, you'd rather have them do that. But, Pat, you're right. I mean, they've got really good running backs. That's the thing. They got talent across the board. But Henderson's really good. You got Mayan Williams. I don't know a whole lot about the guy Trainum, but he's their second leading rusher right now for the team. But I think Ryan Day will certainly look to run the football to help out his quarterback as well. And I think what's going to be curious, guys, is that I'm not so sure that McCord, that this bye week didn't hurt him because he got confidence and started getting going a little bit against Notre Dame. Not having that game the next week, I'm not so sure that that doesn't hurt him. So that'll be curious to see how he comes out of place. And for Ohio State as well, coming off a big win like that, maybe on the one hand, it's a good thing that they didn't have a game because that could be a letdown the next week. But secondarily, though, you get that momentum going. Maybe you want to keep it going. And let's not forget this, guys. Maryland has played Ohio State tight in a couple of the games the last couple of years, but that game's come at the end of the year. This game's coming very early, and I, in terms of how that factors in, we'll have to see because late in the year, and you could argue this for Ohio State, but late in the year, you could also argue Maryland hitting their stride late in the season as well because they've just had a number of games under their belt. But we'll find out.
Yeah, both of those games that Maryland played them tight were in College Park too. So if they can play now, they did play Ohio State somewhat tight in 2015 with Perry Hills. He ran for like 3 touchdowns and 200 some yards. I was for that. I remember that. That was Randy Edsall's last game as Maryland's head coach. They played them tight. They kept it within a couple scores going into the fourth quarter, but yeah, overall, when they've kept the games close, it's been in College Park. So this is going to be tough. And the Shoe is not an easy place to play. It gets very loud in there.
And it's nationally televised.
Televised. It's homecoming.
One more wrinkle I just realized, too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but will this be the first noon start that Maryland's played this year, maybe outside the Towson game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Towson was
late too, wasn't it? I thought
Towson
so.
Was 3:30.
Yeah. So as the West Coaster here, I really appreciate the 3:30 starts. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I don't mind that one bit from a fan point of view. But the only reason my mind's even going there is I was listening to Philly Sports Talk Radio today, and obviously they're recapping the Eagles' overtime win over the Redskins the Commanders. And that is a habit I'll never be able to drop. I'm sorry, people, whoever I offended. even though they might be going back to that name from what I hear. But someone brought up an interesting point that I hadn't really thought of is that, Eagles got off to a slow start in that game. They haven't played a 1 p.m. Sunday game, even dating back to last season in like 6 games or something like that, because they went to the playoffs, and this year we've had them at prime time in 4 o'clock games. So you don't know how that affects the team's preparation just overall. It's like your biological clock, so sometimes wonky things can happen there. So I just found that interesting. I know we'll get to our kind of predictions here in a second, but I was just kind of looking all that to kind of come up with mine and factor it all in.
Yeah, so before we get to predictions, because I don't know. I don't think any of us have Maryland winning. But, Mike, assuming we're not expecting a victory, which I don't think any of us other than the players and the coaches should be doing, what do you want to see from this game? What's going to give you hope for the rest of this season and even next year if Maryland can do what?
Well, I think being competitive. I mean, being in this game for a while, knowing Michigan and Ohio State are kind of pies in the sky, being competitive. Now, I think last year's team, and we saw that as a result of the scores, last year's team of, if we count, 2 years ago when Maryland had their first winning season last year and then this year so far, I think last year's team had the best shot of pulling off an upset of one of those two teams or both. But this team is still, capable of being competitive for a while with this team. I think the thing that I just want to see out of Maryland the most in this one is that, and we talked about penalties, I just want to see a team that plays a clean game and that does what they're supposed to do, no penalties, no blown assignments. It just goes out there and gives themselves the best chance at winning, and then we'll see how far a gap there is in the talent. But as we've seen last year, for instance, even though that game was in College Park, Maryland could play with some of these teams. Although, again, I think last year's team was better, especially in the offensive line. But I just want to see Maryland put their best foot forward, that they don't beat themselves in this one. And we'll see how far that takes them.
So basically, Pat, we want to see them what? Play to the standard? Is that pretty much
I think
it?
That, yeah, I think that is it. There's just so many, let me just preface everything I say, at least from here on out in the podcast, this is not a game I would bet on with all the the fact that Ohio State had an extra week of preparation. We don't know about Tarheeb Still's ankle. We don't know about our injury. We don't know about Marvin Harrison's ankle. We don't know. There's a lot of unknowns here, and I could just see this game going so many different ways. But like in a vacuum, I really like Maryland's chances to keep this game relatively close. I see it's getting close to a 20-point spread, and things can happen at the end of the games to get things closer to 20. But I really feel like even if that spread covers or comes close to covering, I feel like we're going to leave this game saying we competed. Like that was we gave them our best shot and showed them what Maryland was all about. So I have a feeling that, I mean, when was the last time we had the better quarterback coming into a game against Ohio State?
That's a good question. I don't think it's ever happened.
And that's kind of where my head's at. I think that performance that Talia just put on, and the momentum he's going to carry and the confidence he's going to carry over from that. And I think the fact that, guys aren't stupid. Like, they hear all the same chatter we do and on. I don't think anyone's super impressed with Kyle McCord. So our defensive players, are probably feeling kind of confident too. But to just wrap my spiel up and to answer your question, really, what I'm going to be looking at most is I really do want to see Talia have a great game. And whether or not, if we lose in a shootout because our defense just wasn't up to the task of stopping those two great receivers and Trevion Henderson, and was outsized by their offensive line, okay. But if Talia is willing to go to battle and go touchdown for touchdown with them and really show that he can perform against this defense, that's going to get me excited as a Maryland fan.
And that's going to give him a massive amount of confidence for the remainder of the year if he can put up a
performance. And he's going to make some money.
Like, absolutely.
And he's going to make some money. His draft stock's going to go way up if he can compete against these defensive backs. So I'm really rooting for Talia this week.
So, Mike, I checked the spread earlier this morning, and it was 18. And I just checked it again. It's 19.5. So clearly it's trending in the direction. Now, to be honest, that's lower than I thought it would be coming into this. And
it's a Maryland line.
It is, but I was thinking like 30 was almost my expectation. Now, that was before I did some more digging into Ohio State. I hadn't watched them a ton this year, but what do you think, Mike? Can Maryland cover 19.5?
I think they can, but my concern is this, is that to me, this is such a big leap up in talent that they played this year. And I'm not saying that the schedule hasn't played out where it's helped a team like this build the confidence, get off to a 5-0 start, and give them the kind of confidence going into a game like this. You don't want them coming in beaten down. But to me, they just have not played a team that's anywhere close to this talent for them to get a kind of idea of things. Now, again, it's not like a lot of these guys didn't play them last year, or a certain amount didn't play them last year and get a taste of it. But my concern is that the schedule that they've had so far, and then the fact that Ohio State's coming off a bye. And I think that even though coming off the momentum that Notre Dame win, I still think that's going to benefit them, because I'm sure Ryan Day is certainly pounding it into them about the tight game in College Park last year and the fact that, we have a chance to go out there. And I'm sure he's telling them, look, they've got talent, but we're a lot better than this team. Still, we could take care of business. We're at home. It's homecoming. I just feel like that, unfortunately, the way things are, I just feel like Ohio State's going to have a strong win. That doesn't mean Maryland comes out of this not having played well and shown some flashes, but I am concerned. So if you're giving me 19.5, yeah, I'm going to say that Ohio State covers the spread in this one. But if you're going to ask me a key to the game, I'll tell you defensively, I think it's stopping the run. I think that if you can make them one-dimensional, even though the passing game is their strength, I still think that if you know it's coming, that's going to help you. But if they're able to run the ball for 4 yards on first down and set up a 2nd and 6, or if they're able to hit a 3-yard pass on first down, but then run for 4 on 2nd down and set up a 3rd and 3, I think you're in trouble. They've got to be able to really stop the run game and make them one-dimensional, maybe to the point where they're done altogether.
So. And might, to that point, stop them while we're in the nickel and dime, because that's what Ohio State's going to want to do. They're going to want to spread you out, and you don't know if they're going to run or pass, right? So, like, we got to be able to stop that run without stuffing the box.
Yeah,
if we can do that.
Kyle McCord, look, their receivers are really good, but he's still got to get them the ball accurately.
Exactly right. That's why I agree. I mean, I think Mike hit the nail on the head. I do think you got to make Kyle McCord beat you, but you can't. I don't, like, normally you would say, okay, you're going to make the quarterback beat you because they can't throw at all, and you're just going to stuff the box and, you know, do it that way. I don't know if you can necessarily do that here just because of how good the receivers are. You know, like you said earlier, Zach, you might want to play two high safeties. But if you can, if your defensive line and linebackers, maybe it's with a rotation to keep guys fresh, that's probably what I would do. Or just like the way you scheme things out, if they can, you know, obviously you're not going to stop every single run, but if you can hold Travion Henderson to a not so good of a game, then that'll definitely make a lot of things easier on the defensive backs trying to stop those receivers.
Yeah. And that is the difference that make Kyle McCord beat you. We're not asking, we're not saying to have, and why am I blanking on last year's quarterback, CJ Stroud. We're not saying, let's force CJ Stroud to beat us. That's a different story.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, McCord was highly touted coming out of high school, though. Don't get fooled that the guy isn't a good quarterback, but, he still has a lot of, blank canvas where he has to build that resume. So we haven't seen it enough, obviously, out of him.
Well, and you mentioned mixing coverages earlier, and I think these two safeties, Bo Braid, Dante Trader, getting Bo Braid back was important last week. And the week before, obviously, you missed that Michigan game or Virginia game. But I think the two of them playing off of each other and mixing up coverages, even within the two high, if you can play some quarter half, some cover six, some Saban-esque coverages, I think, you know, confusing it as much as you can plays into your strength. Pat, what do you think? 19.5. Can Maryland cover that?
Yeah, I for some reason my gut's telling me they are going to cover today, at least. That's what my gut's telling me. I don't know. I just you could point to a lot of things on paper that says they're not, shouldn't cover. Being on the road scares me a little bit. Extra week to prepare scares me a little bit. But kind of like Mike was saying, I mean, if Ohio State's coach, if their message to the team is, you know, remember last year when they almost beat you, that's a good message. If they're saying, you know, we're better than this team, go in there and take care of business, I don't know if that's necessarily the right message, because this is a team coming in with a lot of confidence and momentum. And, you know, if you're just going in there thinking that you just have to kind of play mistake-free football and not do anything too crazy to win and get out of there, move on to the next week, and Maryland jumps out to a 10-0 lead, how do they respond to that? So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that I like having the better quarterback in this situation. And clearly our coaching staff knows how to play this coaching staff pretty tightly. So I'll take the points.
It's going to be a big test. This is a measuring stick game. You want to compete for Big Ten championships, as they've been saying all year. For the first time ever in Loxley's tenure, they're talking about Big Ten championships.
It's our first time ever starting 2-0 in the Big Ten since we
joined. First time ever. 5-0 for the first time in 22 years.
Low bar, but it's something. It's a step in the right
direction. It's a low bar, but it's something that hasn't been done here in two decades, which is it's a big deal.
Yeah. And if you are going to bet this game, please wait until you get at least the 20 points. Don't bet 19.5. I'm sure it'll get up to 20.
You might be able to get 21. I don't know.
Ohio State money's real. So just like wait for that to come in and take a higher number. 19.5 is a bad number.
My gut says 17 for some reason. I think Maryland can keep it to 17.
Right. Look, guys, real quickly, I'll just say this. The good news for Maryland is they're 5-0, and they still have a lot of room, I think, for improvement. And then secondly, you know, this thing goes in cycles. We can take a look at the schedule and say, yeah, they beat a Michigan State team that's got a lot of turmoil and controversy, and then they beat an Indiana team that just fired their offensive coordinator. They're struggling. Yeah, but that's a part of it. Mike Loxley has built a solid program where they're in a good place, and there is no controversy. They've got talented players. They've got a good coaching staff. And, you know, things are better in College Park. So that's not their fault about what's going on at Michigan State right now. That's not their fault that Indiana's having issues. It's just a sign of a good program. So you could say, well, they're down. Well, yeah, but we're up, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, and that happens, you know, from season to season.
Play who you play.
Yeah, not everybody is on a equal level in terms of programs and injuries or any of that kind of stuff. But I think you tip your cap to Mike Locksley and where he has the program. And we'll see what they can do against, you know, a Michigan and Ohio State this year. If it's anything like last year, we're in for a treat. I'm hoping that my prediction's wrong.
Well, we'll end on that. Be sure to check everything out at the BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com. I'll have my game preview up on Thursday. The guys both have articles up there. More will be coming soon. BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com message board during the game, for sure. Join us there and follow us on Twitter at TalkingTerpsBSL. For my co-host, Mike Popovic, Pat Donahue, I'm Zach Kiesel. Roll Terps.